We're here in WPR's Buck Studio in Madison talking with the Bluegrass Group, the Barefoot Movement. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hey.
Glad you're here. Thanks for making the time. The members of the group are Noah Wall on fiddle and lead vocals, Tommy Norris on mandolin and backing vocals, Alex Connerly on guitar and lead vocals, and Katie Blomars on upright bass and backing vocals. So how about we get started with a song?
Sure. Oh, there's one called Every Little Thing. One of these days I will look around and realize I don't hear the sound of your two cents chiming like a bell. Even times that were good for me, attaining with Now, is that a new tune that you guys are working on? Excuse me. It's pretty new. It's one that's going to be on our new record. This is a record that's taken a while to put together, so the songs are not feeling brand new anymore, but it's never been recorded. So.
Okay. Do you know when that's going to be coming out? Or?
Great question.
Yeah. Crystal ball, you know.
When the time is right, right?
Exactly. Well, we're almost to mixing now and, you know, then mixing, mastering, and then just want to make sure we put it out in the right way, you know, maybe with the right amount of promotion. So we just want to make sure we do it right rather than quickly.
Yeah, well, it sounds great. And one of the reasons I wanted to get you guys in the studio and interview you was you blend so well together. I love the way your voices blend and the instruments. And I'm sure that's a product of hard work and a lot of time, but it's not easy to find. What's the story? How did the four of you kind of connect to form the group?
Well, Tommy playing the mandolin, he and I met in high school,
and started playing together then. And I always knew that I wanted a band, and I wanted multiple singers and players. And so I went off to school at East Tennessee State University, which is where they have a bluegrass, old time, and country music program. And I thought, if I can't find people to play with here, then I just need to get out of the business. So I did, and Tommy went to a different college, but we kept the band going throughout those years. And a couple lineup changes later, we ended up finding our guitar player Alex in Nashville about 5 years ago, going on the sixth year this summer. And we pretty much just hired him for a gig and then didn't let him leave. So Katie joined 3 years ago this past November, and ours with her is just the greatest love story. We found her on Facebook.
Tale as old as time, you know.
Yeah, where all great matches are made, right?
Exactly. Strangers on the internet.
Yeah. So I get this question not infrequently from listeners of Simply Folk, because we have a wide range of ages on that listen to the program, and it's frequently a question of are folks in their 20s and 30s, are they tying into roots music? Are they listening to acoustic music? Are they fans? Are they playing? You know, that's the age range that you all are in. Do you find that the folks that come to your concerts are a mix of ages, and do you feel like there's a good future in the music with people in their 20s and 30s right now?
I think there is. I think generally our shows do skew a little bit older, but that's not true at the festivals. You know, I think it's more the venue maybe that kind of declares the demographic. It's also that a lot of people in their 20s don't have money to come out to shows. So, you know, I know that they're out there. It's just that, you know, you might see them more at a festival where they can buy one ticket and see a bunch of bands,
right, yeah,
all weekend, you know. But there are definitely plenty of people our age playing the music, for sure, and I know that they come out to the shows as well.
Well, that's been my experience, is that at festivals it is that skews, like you said, younger, mm-hmm, in terms of the people that are coming, and there's a lot of young musicians that are coming up. And so, and you all, back in 2000, I'm going to get the year wrong, 14, 15, somewhere in there, got an IBMA award for... Well, tell me.
Yeah, it's so the IBMA does a really fun thing now called the Momentum Awards, which just recognize people that are up and coming in the scene. And we won the Momentum Award for Band of the Year that year, 2014. And I think it was just a great thing for us to, you know, sort of pat us on the back and say, hey, you're going in the right track. Yeah. You're doing something right here. So,
and I should say IBMA being International Bluegrass Musicians Association. So,
yeah,
that's great. Well, how about another song?
How about Lonely? So here's another new one. We're going to have our guitarist sing this one for you. And
here's a song that I wrote whenever we were traveling, as we often do. And at the time, my wife was traveling in a separate band, and so I was thinking, man, you know, being on the road is kind of tough, and it's just part of the way it goes. And but I was thinking about Mississippi and some of the comforting things about some Mississippi blues and stuff that I grew up with. So I incorporated it into the song, and luckily I had these folks add some flair. So
All right.
Here's Lonely Mississippi Blues. Mississippi moon, won't you hear my tune? I got no one to share these blues. Bluebird in the sky, can you fly nearby with a sweet song that I can use? I won't be worried while I'm sitting alone, taking my time, singing my song with these lovely Mississippi blues. Every time she leaves, it's the same old scene, only her love would ever do. Jackson, Tupelo, there's a warm wind to get me through. I won't be worried cause I'm moving along, taking my time, singing my song with these lovely Mississippi blues. Singing with an oh, Mississippi blues, lonely Mississippi blues. Oh, Mississippi blues, lonely Mississippi blues. Do, 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 do.
few sweet magnolia trees and a few goose drinks keep her heart from getting cold. By the riverside, I can feel all right, and someday she'll be coming home. I won't be worried, cause I'm carrying on, taking my time, singing my song with these lovely Mississippi and blues. Singing with me now.
Oh, Mississippi blues, long the Mississippi blues. Whoa, Mississippi blues, long the Mississippi blues.
Sound.
Thank you.
Now you said that you wrote that song based on being on the road. You guys keep up a pretty intense traveling schedule when you go out, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And how do you find, I mean, like everything else, I'm sure it has its good and its bad, but how do you find life on the road feeding your music and your performance? Like in this case, it inspired you to write that song, right? But
yeah.
do you find that that being on the road sort of drains you a little bit, or does it feed you, or kind of a little bit of both?
You guys do a little bit of everything, I would say. We get used to each other's quirks. If we're sitting at the red light, we're like, oh, we know what he's going to do there, or whatever, you know. But it's a good thing when you're with people that you love and that you appreciate and that you enjoy being around. And if they can put up with my quirks and still play music with me, then all right.
Yeah.
But certainly I've heard somebody say you need to live to make a song, to write good songs, or you need experiences, you need to see things, and we certainly see a lot of things. Sometimes we pull up in a venue and we see the inside of the venue and we leave that place and I'm like, what town was that?
Now do you get up to Wisconsin very often?
I'd say yeah, once or twice a year at least, you know. Yeah.
And we make sure to eat all of the cheese while we're up here.
All of it.
Every last bit, huh?
Every bit.
Wow. Well, how about another song? Can we?
Sure. We will do one that we've been playing a lot that crowds seem to enjoy, and we enjoy it. It's a traditional song that came from a 1947 field recording by one Mr. Alan Lomax. I'm sure Simply Folk listeners know who that guy was. And it was a Chain Gang song. And here is our version of it. This is called Early in the Morning.
Two, three. Well, it's early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Said I went out.
Well, it's early in the morning.
Said
when I rise,
got the misery in my
mind.
In my right side, well, in my right side, in my right side, I got the misery in my mind. In my right side, well.
Well, whoever told you that he told you,
Jordan,
Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan,
And we're listening to the Barefoot Movement. You definitely, your music definitely has a traditional feel, even when you're doing your originals. And I noticed on the album Figures of the Year that you credit sources for the traditional tunes, like the 28th of January. You write that your version comes from the fiddling of Frank George. How do you understand that tradition of roots music, and where do you see yourself in that tradition?
I think for me, it was something that I always grew up hearing, and being a child of classic rock, as I was, and heavy metal and all these other things, there was a part of me that like resisted it for a while. But as I got older, I just started thinking about the bands that I loved, particularly like somebody like Led Zeppelin, and then you pay attention to the blues stuff that they do, and oh, there's a mandolin on that track, well, okay, and then listening to things that they liked and listening to things that the people they liked, you know, and the further back you go, the more intriguing it becomes, this, you know, rabbit hole, this adventure trying to find out about all this stuff. So that's what led me to East Tennessee State University, which has that great traditional music program, and I studied the old time string band music, and I was just so drawn to it. Particularly, one of the things I loved is how they could sing a song that had the saddest lyrics, but it was kind of not sounding that sad. Something like You Are My Sunshine, you know?
Sure.
Something basic like that, that, you know, you've heard all your life and you think, oh, happy, fun, sunshine song. But it's actually really depressing if you listen to the words. And so I liked what that taught me, you know, as far as songwriting and the way that it can heal, you know? And I think they were, you know, maybe singing these songs with these sad words and singing them in a way that made it okay, you know?
Sure.
And so I love that about the lyrical stuff. And then, you know, as a fiddler, you just have to spend some time studying the old guys, and you learn about all of the little traits that each of them have, and you can kind of pull from all those things, and hopefully that'll kind of help you develop your own. And as far as where we are, you know, I think that that's always going to be a part of me and my songwriting. And I think at this point, you know, it's important to us to have our own material and write songs. But it's always going to come out because it's just in there and it's not going away.
Sure.
So I will continue to write songs that probably, you know, draw from some, yeah, I'm probably ripping off every old time musician that ever came before me, but not doing it intentionally. It's just, it's in the blood at this point.
Sure. And that was Noah. How about the rest of you? I mean, what's your connection to this style of music? How did you come to it?
I actually grew
That's
up.
That's Katie.
Hi, yeah. Katie here. I actually grew up playing jazz. So, you know, you can, it's the same kind of principle as, you know, folk music in a way where, you know, just songs that were passed down and then the style of jazz was created through that, and you know, that's all relevant to what I do now, and the technique and everything that makes me who I am as a bass player. So
sure.
I was kind of a late bloomer. Well, actually,
this is Tommy. So
this is Tommy. Hey, I actually didn't really get into bluegrass or old time until I met Noah in high school, and she had a mandolin, and then I kind of fell in love with the mandolin, and then started exploring. Before that, I was kind of a rock kid playing in rock bands, electric guitar and drums. But since then, I've studied Bill Monroe and all the great mandolinists and a lot of old time music and jazz and classical, and kind of just went back and just studied all kinds of American music and kind of fallen in love with it.
Sure. How about you, Alex?
Yeah, late bloomer as well in terms of trying to focus on the bluegrass. I grew up with an amalgam of things, but I grew up in a family of singers. Everybody liked to sing, but nobody really played an instrument. But somebody needed to do something. You know, it's getting old. Somebody's got to do something. So I picked up a guitar, but as far as the musical styles, there was bluegrass, and I appreciated it, but I kind of came from just a mix of everything because I wasn't really focused on anything. And I was hopping around, and even when I moved to Nashville after growing up in Mississippi, I just hopped around in bands and tried to be a chameleon. And when I met these guys, it became focused in terms of what the chemistry of the group would work out in, and it's been a fascinating journey that is still being written.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the story of bluegrass music itself, right? You go back in the roots, and you've got elements of jazz and styles of music from Africa and Celtic and old string bands, and it's just... I mean, that's sort of the history of the music too. So it's interesting to hear that still playing out today and how people come to the music. So how about another song?
Sure, we'll do one that has a little bit, you know, of our bluegrass connection. It's a song called Anywhere I Plant My Feet, and I wrote this one just trying to remind myself, because I was always that person saying, well, when I graduate high school, things are going to be great. And then it was, well, when I transfer to the big college, things are going to be great. And then it was when I graduate, you know, so it's just that went on and on and on. And I was like, look, you got to be happy right where you are right now. So sort of wrote this one for myself. Did I say what it's called? This is Anywhere I Plant My Feet. One, two, three,
it's interesting you should play that song. I noticed in a lot of some of the originals that you have for the band, there's a sense of movement, of kind of restlessness in some of the songs, like Restless Heart and I'm a Long Time Traveling, Pressing Onward, that kind of thing. So it's interesting that you should pick one that sort of said, no, I want to plant here, you know.
Well, restlessness is a disease I am afflicted of, and it tends to be something that I have to, you know. Well, it's easy to feel that way. I mean, you're always moving in a band, and it's especially, I mean, since we've been in the band, it's amazing how many things have changed as far as what we have to do as musicians. Not only do you have to write and play and be good, but you have to also like post to social media all the time, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But when it's part of your job, then it starts to become like, oh man, do I have to do this really? So, you know, which you want to do it, you want to connect with your fans, but it's hard for an introvert like me to know like what people want to see or hear. And so just things like that, that you're constantly having to learn about. There's just a learning curve. There's a new thing, you know, all the time. And so I think some of, you know, our songs, like you mentioned, Pressing Onward, are just about like, keep trying, you know, keep trying to figure it out, because it's worth it if you like the music.
Yeah, I think that's true with any job, right? If you're not doing the job, you don't know all the things that go into it to make it happen.
Right.
And I think a lot of folks, myself included, don't always know the demands outside of that small amount of time that you're actually on stage performing. So.
Yeah, we always say that the show is the reward for all the effort that it took to get there.
Yeah, I always heard bands joke that they play for free and they get paid to travel. So.
We may have said that a time or seven on stage.
No. Well, how about we go out with one more song?
Sure. If you come to one of our shows, you'll know that we like to do some fun covers as well. So we'll do one now. We've been doing for a while. We've recorded this one recently. We'll see what happens if it ever sees the light of day. But here's our Jimi Hendrix tune, our obligatory bluegrass Jimi Hendrix tune.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now listen up, y'all. Now dig this. You don't care for me, I don't care about that. Revenue fool, I like it like that. I've only one burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
So crazy. You say your mama ain't home, it ain't my concern. You play with me and you won't get burned. I've only one itch and desire. Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Listen up, Madison, in the greater listening area. Now dig this. You try to give me your money, you better save it, babe. Save it for your rainy day. I've only one a burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
It's been great having you here. Thanks for coming into the studio. And thanks to Tom Blaine, our WPR engineer, for making us all sound even better. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
And you guys have a website, right?
TheBarefootMovementOfficial.com.
All right. And you're on social media?
Yes, just look for Barefoot Movement, The Barefoot Movement. You'll find us.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.